The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
If you own a website and conduct commerce on it, then you're going to want to tune in for this encore performance of my interview with the number one web accessibility and ADA compliance provider, Accessibee. And throughout the show, we're going to tell you how to make sure that your website is compliant so that you'll avoid any ADA compliance issues and also potential ADA compliance lawsuit. So don't go away. Welcome back to the show. Once again, a special guest today is Simon Benari, who is from Accessibee, a web accessibility company. Simon is located out in New York. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. I think it's a really important topic. I mean, the internet, for all intents and purposes, from accessibility to consumer, is about, what, three decades now or so? And I think it's really important as we talk about not just making physical facilities accessible, but it's also important to make our virtual properties like websites accessible as well. So it's great that you're going to be here to educate us on that. But before we get started on Accessibee, we want to get always your story. So how did you fall into being interested into web accessibility?
So web accessibility was an interest that grew over time once joining the industry. The real interest I had was just getting into the SaaS ecosystem. So in 2019, right before COVID started, I moved to Israel to kind of immerse myself in the tech world. It's kind of like the Silicon Valley of the Eastern Hemisphere, and just seeing the work that's coming out of Tel Aviv has always impressed me. And I thought it was a great foot in the door for me to get into that world. So I joined Accessibee, which was a revolutionary disruptive technology in the web accessibility industry as one of the earliest employees in the company. And then my interest really, really grew over time for web accessibility and its importance. And now for the past 5 years, I've been championing the cause and really understanding the fundamental social problem that we as a company are addressing, and really why web accessibility is not only a need from a social perspective, but how it will benefit society as a whole from a positive side.
Oh, that's really interesting about your own personal journey of wanting to get immersed in tech and deciding to go to Tel Aviv. Because as you've mentioned, and I know we're spoiled because this is Silicon Valley, it's supposed to be the tech hub of the United States, of the world, if not just the Western Hemisphere. But then you do have really what's been a very strong ecosystem. As we talked about off camera, I did a stint at Mercury Interactive, which at the time was the second best known technology startup after Checkpoint, that had been originally founded in Israel and then moved to the United States. But see, that's the thing. Usually when people think of Israeli tech companies now, it's really more about like cybersecurity, some other types of products. So what is the founder story of, instead of doing something that everyone expected, like, well, I'm just assuming like in terms of cyber or something along those lines, what in particular was it about web accessibility versus any other thing that they could have decided to build on? What was their passion around that?
Yeah. So first and foremost, just to say, yeah, every other company in Tel Aviv seems to be a cybersecurity company. So definitely on point there. So in terms of our founder's story, one of our three founders was a software house owner who focused on development, very formidable and known developer in the Israeli tech space. And the other two founders were owners of design agencies, design and marketing. So they were working with, companies and doing a lot of web development and design work. And since the founders have known each other from a young age, whenever they needed dev work done, they would go to Shir, who's our president and one of our three co-founders. And whenever Shir needed his dev clients to get design work done, he'd go to Gal Wiesel and Deco Scoop, who is our CRO and CEO, respectively. And they kind of had that relationship over the years. In around 2016, Israel was the first country to legislate and codify their own web accessibility laws, which required places of public accommodation in Israel to become accessible with an enforcement deadline of 2017. And that just so happens to also be the rise in AI and machine learning and automation. And that time kind of came perfectly. So when Gal and Dekel asked our, dev founder Shir, who is our president, to see if he can figure out a solution to help their, anywhere from their enterprise clients to their, SMBs to find a solution. That's when he went into a research and development phase of about 18 months to be able to identify, what is needed to address the market and to provide a solution that's going to be viable, not only for the largest of businesses and bona fide government institutions, but also for the, smaller SMBs and mom and pop shops. And that alliance of three turned into Accessibee, which was founded in 2018. Here we are today.
All right. Well, this is a great start to the show. It's something really important, and we'll get into both the carrot and the stick aspects of why people should care about web accessibility. And I think, 230,000, 240,000 sites trust Accessibee?
So we have over 230,000 websites that are currently using Access Widget, which is our automated remediation tool. So anywhere from Fortune 500 companies, bona fide government and legal institutions, and very importantly, disability-focused organizations, but also And we found this to be the most important are the, tens of thousands of small to medium businesses, mom and pop shops and single proprietors that otherwise and before our product did not have a feasible and practical way of
yeah. Accessible. We're going to talk about that because there's also the people that there's ADA lawsuits, compliance lawsuits and things that both large businesses and small businesses should be aware of. So thanks again, Simon. You're listening to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. We've got Simon Ben-Ari, who's the Director of Partnership Enablement at Accessibee, a web accessibility company. It's something that we think is really important for you to be aware of. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@svn.biz. You can go to the svn.biz website or the keithkoo.com website to find out more information about how to keep your website compliant. And we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders, welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, Simon Ben-Ari, who is the Director of Partnership Enablement at a web accessibility company called Accessibee. Welcome back, Simon.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great having you. On the first segment, we covered Simon's passion into tech, how he ended up at Accessibee, and we covered the founder's passion in solving for accessibility issues for people with disabilities, especially when it comes to the web. So, Simon, what is exactly the problem? Because people might not be aware of it. What is the problem that Accessibee is trying to solve for?
So there's the problem in general, and then there's the problem that we're solving. The social problem is that people with disabilities don't have access to the internet. Only 3% of websites on the internet are accessible. The reason why that is a problem on a societal scale is because, according to the CDC, the World Health Organization, 20 to 25% of the world's population is affected. And why that is a problem is because it's morally unjust, because web accessibility and the ability to practice commerce equally should be a basic civil right. And, you know, people with disabilities also have $6 trillion in total spending power. $1 trillion of those dollars are disposable income, and not to mention that you have a lack of participation and innovation. So as a result, you have companies that have, you have governments that have legislated laws that are enforcing web accessibility. But the problem is that particularly small to medium business owners, they don't have a practical and affordable way of making their sites accessible before we came into the market. You had to hire a full stack developer, a WCAG expert, and a consultant. That costed tens of thousands of dollars. It took, you know, many weeks and in many cases months, and required tedious and costly maintenance. So what are we solving? We are basically creating a solution that is product oriented instead of service oriented, so that we can, you know, make web accessibility a lot more streamlined, scalable, practical, and affordable for businesses, so that we can narrow the web accessibility gap.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks. And thanks for making it clear to us. And I think to make it more clear, as many people know, I had in my final corporate career, I was managing director of technology risk for a major bank. And that included oversight into the contractors and the consultants that make physical bank branches accessible for people with disabilities. So just trying to visualize putting in a ramp for wheelchairs, putting in handles that can support people. So just like physical locations need that, if you're doing commerce, especially on the web, well, actually, I should go back. It's not just whether you do commerce, but I know, and you're the expert, so I'm going to ask you this question, but I'm saying it for people who are conducting commerce on the web. There are many, many also cases of ADA or Americans with Disabilities Act lawsuits to make your websites in compliance, just as you would if you owned a coffee shop. And so I came out of large companies, and so you think about the amount of funding and money even a large company has to go through to make a physical bank branch accessible. You think about a coffee shop owner and whether they're aware of their issues or not, and how much it's going to cost them. That's the analogy, I think, in terms of highlighting this issue with websites not being compliant. Along those lines, I know that for commercial sites, I'm assuming that there's some penalties involved, which I wanted you to get into, and that's more of the stick. What about if I just have a blog? What if I just have my own website? What are the, are there the same expectations of accessibility, or do people get a hall pass because they're not selling anything?
So it definitely depends. If you just have a website to have a website and it's not a business, you know, or providing an accommodation or providing information that's crucial for the procurement of a service or a product, then technically you don't. But that doesn't mean there aren't, you know, the positive sides to becoming accessible, which I'm sure we'll discuss a little bit later. But yeah, the, you know, primarily you have businesses that are places of public accommodations. You know, you said e-commerce, but other industries feature real estate, yeah, automotive, healthcare, just to name a few of the industries that tend to be targeted most when it comes to web accessibility lawsuits. So it definitely ranges. And from what we've seen, some industries get sued more than others, but it doesn't matter whether you're a small business, a large business, for-profit or non-for-profit, you must make your website accessible, or you can be open to lawsuits. And that really started in 2018 when, in the end of 2018, the United States Department of Justice officially affirmed that websites are considered public accommodations and therefore must comply with Title III of the ADA, which, you know, in the United States, there is a lot of case law where enforcement and justice administration bodies like the DOJ interpret already existing laws that were initially made for physical locations, and they interpret it to also apply to websites. And since that 2018, you've seen a meteoric rise in the lawsuits and primarily addressing web accessibility. And the culmination of that in 2020 was over 265,000 demand letters and lawsuits that were served to businesses of all sizes.
Say that number again.
265,000 demand letters and lawsuits served to businesses of all sizes in 2020 alone. So, yeah, staggering statistics.
I should repeat that. I'm sure it's a coincidence, but you have 230,000 website customers and you have 265,000 ADA compliance lawsuits.
Yeah, well, I mean, since 2020, the numbers have increased to well over 300,000 year over year. I mean, it definitely is more of a coincidence. But yeah, we're in terms of the way that we've been scaling, when I first started at Accessibe, which was before, I spoke to you about the DOJ affirmation, but the other, landmark legal event that happened and really the marquee case in web accessibility is the Domino's case. So Domino's was sued by a gentleman by the name of Guillermo Robles, who was blind and basically asked Domino's to make their website accessible. They refused. It's a pretty long story, but I'll keep it concise. And then Domino's actually won the case in local court. And then the blind gentleman, Guillermo Robles, he appealed to the district court, which the district court ruled in favor of him. But the real, one-of-a-kind situation that happened that led to such an increase and such a growth in our client base was this was the only case that was appealed to the Supreme Court level. And the Supreme Court, for the first time, had a web accessibility case that they had to address. And in October 2019, they rejected Domino's appeal, which was a huge decision in favor of web accessibility. I remember I was back then, working directly with partners. I was having 2 to 3 meetings a day. And then overnight, it turned into about 16 meetings a day, booked 2 weeks in advance. And you couldn't even speak to us if you wanted to. How that just represents how much increase in demand that landmark case, created alongside the DOJ affirmation that happened 1 year before.
Right. So as we finish up this segment, I want to just make a point that there are a lot of ways that you may, as a business owner, not be aware that your website isn't accessible. You're not able for people with vision or hearing impairment to get access to the sound or images on the site. You're not able to click on the links. You're not able to see things properly. The images are stored. What are some of the other key callouts that happen on a website that's an obvious lack of accessibility?
Yeah, so it's based off of 6 disability categories for minor visual impairments.
We're going to pause then because we're going to have to come back, but you can go through the 6 when we get back.
So yeah.
You're listening to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. Special guest is Simon Ben-Ari from Accessibe, a web accessibility company. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@svn.biz. And we'll be right back where Simon will tell you the 6 main things how you can tell if your website's in compliance or not. So we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to the show. Once again, we're talking about the importance of web accessibility, why, just like it's important to get able to access to a store, wheelchair ramps, guardrails, it's also important to be able to have access to your website. So join with me is special guest Simon Ben-Ari, Director of Partnerships and Sales Enablement at Accessibe. Welcome back, Simon.
Thank you so much.
So right when we were finishing the last segment, you were going to give us the 6 ways to tell, or 6 things you need to be aware of to make sure that your site's accessible? So what are they?
Well, I mean, I'm going to break it down into the six major disability categories. I would say, I mean, the WCAG, which is the guidelines that are the standard for web accessibility, they have, you know, thousands of clauses. But, you know, the six major disability categories are minor visual impairments. And to make websites accessible, you need to have UI and design related adjustments like text, fonts, contrast, saturation. For people with epilepsy, they're at risk of seizure when entering a site with risk tolerant content. So you need to stop animations and reduce brightness. The third one would be cognitive and learning disabilities. And you want to focus on making the website more understandable and robust and assist with reading and focusing. And the other two are motor impairments and blindness. People with motor impairments, like people that are paraplegic, quadriplegic, ALS, MLS, they require keyboard navigation adjustments or other assistive technologies like click sticks that they'll use in their mouth and things like that. And then finally, you have blindness and hearing impairments. Blindness, people who are blind need to use screen readers to operate computers and websites. So you need to make sure that your website has alt tags on images and make sure that you have the proper attributes that identify your element's roles and functionality. While for people with hearing impairments, you need to make sure that you all of your video or audio content has closed captioning or transcripts, respectively.
Wow. Yeah, that's good to know. I mean, I have a cousin who's a professor of deaf education. She's deaf. And I mean, we talk about this all the time to make sure that even just for her needs as a family, that we're always using text-based and we're able to like get her the content when we're doing stuff. So, but this blows my mind because it's like just so all-encompassing. I don't know how any company, especially a mom-and-pop company, can keep up with it on their own unless they're got very deep pockets and a very deep infrastructure to handle that. So, you know, this is where we're getting to, I think, where Accessibe makes it a lot simpler, right?
Yeah, it makes it a lot simpler. But I actually did want to kind of piggyback off of what you said.
Sure.
It's making your website accessible can actually benefit more than just for the people with disabilities. It's actually statistically people are three times more likely to watch a video with closed captioning. So, you know, even if for people that are not, you know, that don't have hearing impairments, they're actually statistically more likely. That's why you have Netflix to make sure to provide closed captioning as well. And it's also for language barriers as well, which may not consider disability, but it also helps those people. But yeah, definitely happy to get into the next topic as well. I just wanted to key in on that.
No, I think it's a good point that a lot of times, because I start off with saying there's a carrot and there's a stick element to when people think about another burden they have to do to keep something operationally working for what perceived law or regulation. But that, to your point on the carrot side, it's like not just because you're doing it to keep a regulation, but you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, but also there's going to be an added benefit because you're going to be making your content much more accessible anyway, and people are going to have an easier time from a UI and UX perspective navigating it. So that makes total sense. So as we do that, yeah, let's talk about Accessibe. How do you make all these elements much simpler for somebody than having to like stress out over doing this themselves?
Yeah, so very good question. So on a high level, we leverage AI and machine learning technology to make the process simple, immediate, affordable, and still achieve the compliance standards you need to follow your respective legislation. We leverage a foreground and a backend application. The foreground is an accessibility interface, and that's responsible for the UI design and cognitive related adjustments needed to make websites accessible to people with minor visual impairments, epilepsy, as well as cognitive and learning disabilities. And then our AI machine learning powered process is the back end, and where you know, really the bulk of the work happens. It's for screen reader and keyboard navigation adjustments for blind people and people with motor impairments. We use a contextual understanding that allows us to remediate all of your website's menus, dropdowns, pop-ups, forms, icons, buttons, and widgets by applying the appropriate screen reader text, ARIA attributes and labels, and then, of course, providing navigability for keyboard or other assistive technologies. So I know that's a lot, but all you have to do as a business owner is copy and paste one line of JavaScript code, and it's a very simple install, especially with popularization of CMS platforms, even without them. And it's platform and backend agnostic, so it works with any website or CMS platform as well. So really all you have to do is copy and paste and let the AI do its thing. Within 48 hours, you're not only accessible and compliant, but you receive a certificate of performance to back all that up.
That's impressive. Within 48 hours, you're going to have a fully compliant website. What does the certificate do for you?
So the accessibility statement, which acts as a certificate of performance, it explains the adjustments that the solution's made to the website, its browser and assistive technology compatibility, and has a feedback reporting mechanism. The statement itself is actually a legal requirement to have on the website, which for us, it's located on the interface, but you also get it as a certificate version personalized to the name of your domain and dated. So that way, if anyone is questioning the accessibility or compliance of your site, you can show them that certificate along with monthly audit reports that we would, give you as well and show that you are in fact accessible and compliant. Not to mention that we also have litigation support packages because of the litigious nature of the industry. We want to make sure that anyone questioning the accessibility of a client of ours, we will show whatever proof or demonstration needed that any elements in question are in fact compliant with our solution. And it's been a very, very important part of an industry that's been driven by, I gave you the numbers before, a lot of lawsuits. But on the other side, the flexibility and the feature set has been developed alongside people with disabilities, which is, so important that it's a buy us for us type of solution.
That's certainly impressive, the ability to get that all done and have somebody else accessibly manage that for you. So it's one less thing you need to worry about. Does it matter? I mean, languages, let me go back. When in terms of the closed captioning, do you have your own translation or in transcription service, or is it something that you piggyback on another service that you have, like a customer uses?
So that's a really good question. Our tool access widget takes care of the vast majority of the WCAG requirements, with the exception of closed captioning for videos and PDF remediation. But we have a totally different team called our access services team. And that's where our experts actually take care of the closed captioning for videos. We use a semi-automated and reviewed by our experts to make sure the captions are done correctly. And also the PDF remediation or external files like Word documents or Excels are also done by our services team.
So for any video or document that a business owner has on their website using your service, that's all included in the solution?
It's separate from the solution itself. So the solution is product oriented. The vast majority of websites actually don't need necessarily the closed captioning or the external file remediation, because most sites don't have external files. And even for most websites with videos, YouTube has a closed captioning algorithm as well. So they anyway have that taken care of. But you do have some use cases that do require that as a separate service. Example would be like online learning, where you have to pay to access the video content. You don't want to upload that through YouTube, because then it would be not paid content, it would be free content. And for industries like those, you would need to take care of them independent of the product itself. And that is also done in-house with us, but it's at a different rate.
Before we finish on this segment, like, is there anything else we need to know about the solution itself?
Yeah, for sure. I have to say that the most important advantage that I always preach about having our product is the fact that it's not only making your website accessible and compliant with a quick 3-minute installation and a quick 48-hour turnaround. It's also super affordable. Prices starting at, and for most websites, $490 a year, compared to the tens of thousands of dollars you'd pay for the manual remediation. But the single biggest advantage is the automatic maintenance, because websites are very regularly updating, especially e-commerce companies. And our AI rescans your website every 24 hours to ensure that any changes, additions, or revisions that you're making are also being remediated. So ultimately, after the 5-minute installation of our product, you no longer have to worry about accessibility issues on a day-to-day basis, because everything is really done automatically for you. Even, for example, websites that update every single day.
Thanks a lot, Simon. And just to recap, Accessibee has the ability to address the 6 major categories in the WCAG. It is one line of code that they give to you to add to your website. And then it maintains all the changes and compliance. You get a certificate that says that your website's in compliance. And what we said earlier is that there's been a huge rise in Americans with Disabilities Act lawsuits against websites for not being fully accessible. So special guest today is Simon Ben-Ari, who is the Director of Partnership Enablement at Accessibee. We have information about how to sign up and use their product on svin.biz and keithka.com. And there's a special offer for early adopter discount. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@svn.biz, and we will be right back to close the show.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, insiders, welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, it's been all about the importance of web accessibility, whether it's for the right reasons. You want to be able to serve your clients better. You want to be able to get your message out. And by keeping it compliant, you actually generate more positive goodwill and a better user experience. Or the stick, is because we know that there's been a huge rise in ADA compliance lawsuits, sometimes costing upwards of $30,000 US and more. Our special guest today has been Simon Ben-Ari, Director of Partnership Enablement from Accessibee, a web accessibility company. Thanks a lot, Simon, for being here today.
Happy to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I've certainly enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. My background in technology, risk and compliance, as somebody came from large companies, and now that I deal with startups, large companies are very much afraid of lawsuits, and not just lawsuits, but the beyond the money involved with being out of compliance and potentially paying a fine, it's the maintenance, it's the people power behind it, the cost, making sure that you've got people dedicated to something that you may or may not do every day. So in summary, what we've covered so far is that Accessibee has about 230,000 customers. They've seen a huge uptick since 2018 when the U.S. government and even the Supreme Court ratified that this public accommodation, that websites need to be accessible just like a physical space would be. So having said that, and you have to listen to the previous segments if you missed it, because Simon goes through each of the areas that you need to be aware of when it comes to ADA compliance. Simon, what are ways that when people sign up for Accessibee, what should they be thinking? And before we get to that, actually, what have been some of the success stories you've seen? You're one of the earliest employees of the company. What are some of the success stories you can share with us?
So there are different categories of success stories across the board, whether it's, the community of people with disabilities that are benefiting from having you know, more and more access to the internet are sending us regular thank you emails and general messages. For the business owner side, we have, and my definition of success, especially is your SMBs, your mom and pop shops that otherwise did not have a practical and affordable solution, especially the ones that were facing lawsuits. You know, we have an example of a pizza shop owner that he, you know, spent about $3,000 to build his website. And for him, that was a ton of money. And he got sued, he got a web accessibility lawsuit. And the quote to make his site accessible was $20,000. And that was such an overwhelming cost that he decided actually to shut his website down and only keep his Instagram and Facebook pages open. So not only are you not providing access to 20%, now 100% of the population doesn't have access to the website. His agency then reached out to him and you know, recommended that they use Access Widget. And he was back up and running in a day and was able to send screenshots over and video demonstrations of the compliance of his website to the plaintiff, and the lawsuit was dropped right away. And you know, you have the success of now people with disabilities have the ability to access his website. He's no longer dealing with legal troubles, and he was able to do so for a very affordable cost, a fraction compared to what he was quoted before.
Yeah, and I think that certainly resonates with many, many business owners, especially those who may not even be aware that they have a compliance issue. And as we start off in the beginning of the show, of course, we think more about websites that are in the business of commerce. There's e-commerce, there's automotive, healthcare, consumer. But if you have a website of any kind, you might want to give pause and think about whether or not your site is able to be visible and can be reached by your target audience.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we have, you know, businesses of every kind of industry. As I said, I mean, pizza shop doesn't fall into one of those categories of industries that get sued the most. But I mean, he was sued and definitely had to deal with a very large settlement fee potentially and a very large quote for the remediation of his site. And, you know, definitely the merits and the positive benefits of becoming accessible have become more and more clear to this pizza shop owner, but he was only able to kind of see the legal side and only was able to gain the awareness of accessibility after being on the receiving end of a lawsuit. So to make that experience practical and affordable for those small to medium business owners, the mom and pops, single proprietors is very important. But also on the other side, even some of the largest enterprises in the world, Fortune 500 companies, you know, they come with super stacked R&D teams, developers that are not educated in web accessibility. They come to us after failed web accessibility projects, and we're able to, you know, to pick up from where they left off or even fix a lot of the problems that they created. And now they benefit from being accessible using our products and services.
Yeah. And I can answer, we use a term called core versus context. And for a large company, keeping your website accessible should not be core. It should be something that you can farm out to the experts like accessibility, because it's not something that's going to necessarily drive your own business by having that skill set on hand, but being able to access the skill set at a much more efficient and cheaper cost is important. So, Simon, we're out of time, so let me just wrap up. But thanks again for being here today.
Yeah, this was a really awesome experience, and I'm always very appreciative of having a platform to be able to, you know, preach all the benefits of becoming accessible and how, from a social perspective, it's helping such a large percentage of the population, 1.5 billion people, but also on the other side, making sure that we consider, you know, the business owners day to day and how important it's for them to, you know, have a practical way of achieving these social goals that, you know, governments pass legislation for and enforce. And I think that we are, one of our key principles is creating a win-win situation, and having a platform to spread that awareness is the most important goal for us.
Thanks, Simon. And that is also why we've decided to partner with you, because this is just such an important topic. And I say it again, the carrot and the stick. I know the benefits of doing the right thing and making your website accessible. I also know the litigiousness of people that chase ADA compliance lawsuits. And so you both have the ability to do what's right and keep yourself safe, and to do it, which I'm very confident about, is a much lower cost than doing it yourself. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, if you want to make sure that your website would pass an ADA compliance audit or ADA compliance lawsuit, check out keithku.com, go to the partners page, and click on Accessibility, which will take you to the Accessibility website and give you our exclusive discount. Check it out today.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Ku. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.